There's some most solemn and searching words found in this chapter, and yet there are some most blessed words of comfort and encouragement to the Lord's dear people. I just want to name a few things. First of all, he speaks of them being a rebellious people. Oh, how solemn the state of rebellion is. We are told, and one often thinks of it, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. And you see, in a dry land there's barrenness, there's no prosperity, there's no growth. And when we are left to rebelliousness as they were here, many of these Jews, they were in a dry land. And the Lord had forsaken them in measure. But secondly, they were instructed not to go down into Egypt for help. It says, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. And how often we do go down into Egypt, don't we? We don't go to the Lord when we should. We seek help from ourselves or help from man. But do we not have to prove what the dear psalmist said, but vain is the help of man? And so they proved it here. But there were those solemn reproofs the Lord gave to them. And do we not need reproving? It's like a child when it does wrong, it's lovingly reproved. And the Lord does that with his dear people, doesn't he? Where would we be if he didn't correct us and reprove us when we wander, when we backslide, and when we turn to idols or turn from the Lord? And why does he rebuke and correct his dear children? Is because he loves them. It's like a loving parent will correct his children in love. We think of that word the wise man wrote, and the apostle took it up in the Hebrews, didn't he? And he speaks of no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth us peaceable fruits of righteousness. And oh, what a mercy that is unto them that are exercised thereby. And whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But what led me, just briefly, to this chapter was those words in verse 19 seem to so come into one's heart. For the people shall dwell in Zion, at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer. And in the previous verse he speaks, doesn't he? He says, and therefore will the Lord wait to be gracious. So, thinking of that, he will wait to be gracious. The Lord has an appointed time when he will be gracious to his dear people and appear for them. And work for them and in them and bless them. He waits to be gracious. What a mercy it is we have, that gracious God that is patient toward his dear people. And then he says that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted. You know, if we got a real religion, all our desire will be to exalt a precious Jesus. in our walk, in our life, in our conversation, in our thoughts, in our hearts, exalt his precious name, and in the preaching of his word he should ever be exalted, and in the hearing of it too. But then he says that he may have mercy upon you. Oh, what a mercy it is. We have a merciful high priest that is merciful to his people in spite of all their sin. And when you read through these chapters and we read of the sins that they had fallen into, and yet the Lord was merciful to them. For the Lord God, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Are you waiting for the Lord? Am I tonight? I love that beautiful verse. I think I quoted it Brighton Sunday evening, of that last verse of hymn 330. Blessed is the man, O God, whose mind is stayed on thee, who waits for thy salvation, Lord, shall thy salvation see. Are you waiting for the Lord? They shall not be ashamed that wait for me, the Lord says. Are you waiting for him to answer your prayers? Waiting for him to work for you and in you? Waiting for him to make a way where there seems no way? Well, I just hint at these things. For the people shall dwell in Zion. That seemed very sweet to me when this word dropped in, you know. They shall dwell in Zion. Dwell among his people. Dwell where the Lord reigns. Where he lives. Where he abides. In Zion. We told, aren't we, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And what a mercy that is, you know. He loves the gates of Zion well. Oh, he does. And then, thou shalt weep no more. Now, there may be those of you, and I just briefly hint at it, there are things that make you weep tonight. You look within your own heart, the sin there is within, oh, the weeping. And then we often weep because of the hidings of the Lord's face. We weep because we don't have the answers to our prayers we long for. We weep when we think of Zion. Think of the psalmist when he walked by the rivers of Babylon. He said, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Many of us that are older think of former days and the blessings that descended and the courts of the Lord filled with his people. But oh, it's a day of small things. And oh, to be a real weeper in Zion. For they that weep in Zion shall approve the promise. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. They shall weep no more. This, of course, will be fully known in glory. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. They shall weep no more. But then he will be very gracious unto thee. What seemed so sweet to me was how personal this is. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. Now the Lord knows the cries of your heart secretly, the cries that go forth if we're spared this evening from this sanctuary. And may we prove the reality of this word. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer. What a sweet promise that is, isn't it? Well, may the Lord sweetly fulfil it here this evening and in each of our hearts and in each of our lives. Well, may the Lord bless these few rambling remarks.